And today we plan to finish Hebrews chapter 5. And last time I gave a fairly long summary of what we've seen so far in our study, so I'm not going to review today. But I just want to say that if you have missed any of the previous sessions, or maybe all of them, I encourage you to go back and listen on Facebook, online. You can talk to Jennifer, all the details. She can kind of explain where they are. And you can go back all the way to chapter 1 and listen. However, if you're just joining us today, that's okay. You'll still be able to hear a lot, and you'll still be able to jump into our study really anytime. So today's passage is a transitional passage. We've been talking a lot about a lot of themes, and we're going to actually shift up, and in some ways, the themes that we're going to be seeing now, starting in chapter 6, are a little bit deeper and actually maybe even more impacting to us. So, and it's probably a good transition because next week is Resurrection Sunday, and we won't be actually in Hebrews. And then I'll be gone for the next couple weeks from there. So this is a good day to kind of have this passage. So let's read Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Concerning him, that's Jesus, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now this passage really tells of a story that is far too common for Christians, very sadly. And that is that many people remain infants in the faith. God wants us to grow into maturity. He wants us to move from just drinking milk to solid food. And that's what infants are supposed to do, right? I mean, when they're really small, like Naela, you know, they're supposed to drink milk. But after a while, she needs to have solid food, right? And God wants us to be teachers. He wants us to be bearing fruit. He wants us walking in and possessing the promises of God. And by the way, those are all things that are coming up in the book of Hebrews. So at this point, it's in our study, I think it's a good time to ask ourselves a very critical question. Have we become dull of hearing? Because there's so much more for us to learn. Have we become dull of hearing? Being dull of hearing, or before in chapter 3 we talked about hardening our hearts, those are things that we can slip into. And it's very important that we allow ourselves not to do that. And that's one reason the writer of Hebrews keeps bringing this up. Being dull of hearing or hardening our hearts will keep us away from all that God has for us. And it'll also keep us from understanding the rest of the book of Hebrews, too. So let's go back to 11 and 12. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So what is the difference between being an infant and being mature? And of course, in the physical world, a lot, right? You know, we see that clearly in the physical world. Babies cry, especially if they want something. I mean, some are more content than others. You know, they use diapers. You know, you have to feed them. You have to carry them. You know, they also have no concept of what their parents are doing. And that's why, you know, they don't kind of think to themselves, oh, mom and dad are eating supper now. Maybe I won't cry. I'll just kind of wait another 30, 40 minutes. It doesn't work that way, right? Or if they're taking a nap or going to bed, it doesn't make any difference. They're a baby. If they want something, you know, they're going to cry. Let us know. A couple other verses that talk about this in the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes. Those are the things, by the way, that spiritual newborn babes do. They slander, they have envy. Long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So the exhortation is, let's leave the milk behind, let's move to solid food. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able, for you're still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? So we see here that infants in Christ is equated with being in the flesh, living in the flesh, dealing with envy and jealousy and strife and hypocrisy and gossip and slander. Infants, as cute as they are, really are very self-focused, aren't they? You know? You can kind of see right here. And same with new believers. You know, a new believer sees life, their life with God, everything as to what God is doing for me. Salvation, eternal life, you know, His kindness. And by the way, that's good. That's necessary. That's the way it's supposed to be. But the new believer, the infant in Christ, when he prays or she prays, it's always praying for me, what I need, what I want. There's not a comprehension. Wait a minute, there's a world out there that I need to be praying for as well. Infants in Christ see all things as it relates to me, including people. Are they being nice to me? Do they notice me? That's the way infants in Christ are. And probably the real negative side is that spiritual infants are still entrapped by things like envy, slander and gossip, jealousy, insecurity, complaining, resentment. If pressed, they're very argumentative. They'll use unkind and harsh words. They can have a critical spirit. They can easily be offended. They can drown themselves in self-pity. Of course, not always, but often. And they basically see things from their point of view. And we can easily expand this. And by the way, spiritual infants, they should be people who don't have a whole lot of time in the Lord. But often, they've been in the Lord for many, many years. They've learned all the spiritual things to say, the spiritual things to do, but they're still infants. And this appears to be the concern of the writer of Hebrews, because he says, by this time, it should be different. By this time, you should be teachers, but you're still just kind of feasting on the milk. You need the solid food. And he says this now because he's going to be going into mature, solid food, the rest of Hebrews. Now, mature believers, on the other hand, mature disciples, they're different. They're feeding on the solid food of God's Word. Not just, how does it say here, the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Ephesians 4 talks about spiritual maturity. And let's go look at verse 13 here. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, that's maturity, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, we really know who Christ is. By the way, that's what we're kind of learning in the book of Hebrews, right? To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Because there's so much more for us to enjoy and experience. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Because that's how we grow up. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this is talking about both individuals and as a church. We need to grow up. We need to grow up into maturity, the fullness of Christ, attaining to the knowledge of the Son of God. Grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. You know, this is the focus is on Jesus. And also, I think mature believers, disciples, they're continually exploring the riches or the treasures of knowing Christ. See, when we first become to know the Lord, it's always the same thing. Oh, He's given me eternal life. He's forgiven me of my sins. That's good. That's a good starting spot. But really, in Christ, when we're walking in Christ, there's a treasure room. And I think we might even have an illustration here of just the... I think coming up, is that right? Yeah, that's right. That when we're really walking in Christ, we're just, and we start really studying God's Word, there's treasure everywhere, things for us to explore. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. It says, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of Christ's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Another place it says, we've been blessed with all the spiritual riches in the heavenly places. You know, Colossians 2, verse 8, same chapter. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him, that is Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him, you have been made complete. And He is head over all rule and authority. So the fullness of deity, the fullness of who Christ is, we can experience as we walk in Him, as we get to know Him. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Paul is talking about the unfathomable riches of Christ. What does that mean? That means I can't even understand them all. It's just, I can't fathom it. That's one reason I like that picture of the guy in the treasure room, like, wow, I don't even know where to begin, you know? Normally, we'd be kind of thinking, oh, there's a treasure I can put in my pocket, but it's all over the place. God wants us to live that way. You know, there's other places, especially in the book of Ephesians, it talks about the riches of His grace, the riches of His glory. And even while we're in Ephesians 3, let's just kind of look at verse 16. Notice how Paul prays for the people that he has a burden for. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. You can say the treasures of His glory. To be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. I like that. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love. He's praying that we'd be rooted and grounded in love. That we'd be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. See, maturity is experiencing the fullness of God. Ephesians 1, verse 18, he's praying again. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches or the treasures of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Remember, we talked about this at the beginning of Hebrews, that God has an inheritance for us of all these treasures. And He's telling us, He's encouraging us, even here in this life, you can begin to start experimenting or experiencing these. You can start to get to know these treasures. It's true that when we die or when Jesus comes back, that's when we're going to really experience the fullness of it. But He wants us to start even now. That is Christian maturity. That is where God wants to take us. And by the way, these are the types of prayers we need to be praying for one another. There is so much more, brothers and sisters, to the Christian life. May He open our eyes. But we have to be willing to get up and move away from infancy. And we can't harden our hearts. We can't get dull of hearing. You know, there in verse 11, going back to Hebrews 5, he says, concerning Him, we have so much more to say. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. It's like with an infant. Can you explain the history of Greece and Rome to an infant? I mean, you can say it, you can explain it, but are they going to understand? No, they're not going to understand any of it. Actually, sometimes if we're 20 years old, we may not understand, or 30 years old. It's the same way. God has more things He wants to teach us, but He's saying, we've got to grow up. We've got to grow up. Okay, let's look at verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. The word of righteousness. Infants don't eat the word of righteousness. But I feel like, and we're going to probably see this as we start going further into Hebrews, the word of righteousness is really the first solid food that we as spiritual babes need to start partaking of. If we don't get this down, we will struggle. And actually, understanding His gift of righteousness is the only way we're going to leave behind the things of the flesh that keep people in spiritual infancy. So let's talk about this for a few minutes. It's really just an introduction, because later in Hebrews, we're going to be talking more about this. So the big question is, how do I get righteousness? How do I obtain righteousness? There are basically two ways. First, we try to obtain it. We try to obtain righteousness by our own strengths and abilities. Now, this is a very common approach, and sometimes we do it without even realizing it. We work hard to become more righteous, and we work even harder, and I've got to get there. I've got to get to the place where I'm righteous like God wants me to be. We study, And then we decide, okay, I've got to throw myself into even more. And by the way, the Jews in Jesus' day, that's what they were doing. They thought, if I study the law more, if I obey the law more, I will have righteousness. And so they would read every detail of the law, trying to implement it. But the result is always the same. We fail. Now, some may get a little bit further than others, but the result is that we all fail. And here's maybe an example of option number one. We're trying to get to righteousness. And by the way, it's still a long ways away. And it's like we're in a swamp here. And just imagine these branches that are kind of just reaching out. One of them could be anxiety. Another one could be insecurity. Another one could be a critical spirit. Think about your life. Are you still struggling with things that God is saying, hey, listen, it's time to grow up? These are things that are holding us back. And we're trying to fight these things on our own. And you know what? It seems like, if anything, in fact, Jennifer actually did this. It would have been nice to have kind of had this, but it's impossible to do in one illustration, is to kind of show, wait a minute, I was around here about 3 days ago or 6 months ago, because you're just kind of lost and you just can't seem to get to it. And the result's always the same. We fail. And sometimes, for some, Christians decide, this is too hard. The Christian life is too hard. Actually, I hear people tell me that as a pastor all the time. The Christian life is too hard, Mike. And for some people, they just quit. Or for some, they do something different. They find that it's better if they focus on external things. In other words, they want to avoid the inner things that are way too more difficult. So they focus on the external things. So like example, inner things are things like greed, pride, critical of others, insecurity, resentment. And so it's easier to kind of focus on external things, religious activities, religious talk, condemning and pointing out sin in others. Have you ever noticed that some people do that? Why are they always trying to condemn somebody else? You know the reason? They're trying to make themselves feel better. Because they're frustrated that they just can't get ahead. It seems like they take 5 steps ahead, and all of a sudden they're 10 steps behind. And Jesus taught something different. One thing he said, the heart was the focus. Like the Sermon on the Mount. You read the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about the heart. You know? Or another example is Matthew 15. And this is just one example of many. Matthew 15, verse 18. Let me get to it real quick here. Jesus is saying, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the mouth. Man, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. And the end result of trying to work and get righteousness is always the same. We fail and we remain infants in Christ. And we'll never comprehend all that God has for us. The things that we just talked about. Now that's option one. Option two is Jesus is our righteousness. Because we're told in the scriptures, he became righteousness for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we would become the righteousness of God. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He became to us righteousness. In other words, he became righteousness for us, and it's the gift of righteousness, and all we have to do is to receive it by faith. Gone is the guilt, the frustration of trying to make it happen. His life within us begins to raise us beyond all those things in the flesh that are keeping us stuck in the swamp. Another illustration up here. You could go the way of the swamp, you're never going to make it. Or the word of righteousness, it's like jumping into a tram car. Actually, it's called the word of righteousness. And you know what? You're just going to zip up the mountain. You know, he does it for you. And it was paid for by Jesus Christ at the cross. Now, we all know this in our head. Many of us, most of us, understand it as far as gaining eternal life. I can't earn eternal life. Jesus did it for me. Oh, thank you, Lord. But even living the Christian life is the same thing. We cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot become righteous. And if we keep trying, we're going to be stuck in spiritual infancy. And we're going to be struggling with those same things over and over and over. But God has some solid food for us. And it starts with the word of righteousness. Because if we choose to say, you know what? I can't do it by myself. I quit trying to do it myself. And I'm going to take the word of righteousness. And the word of righteousness is going to, it's a much better road. Because he does it for you. You know. Romans 9. Many, many scriptures here. And I know there's a lot here, but I think this is very important. Verse 30. What shall we say? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attain righteousness. Even the righteousness, which is what? By faith. But Israel, or many of them, the Jews in Jesus' time, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Or the next chapter, chapter 10, starting in verse maybe 3. For not knowing about God's righteousness, that's through Jesus Christ, and seeking to establish their own, that's option 1, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ, that tram car, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness, which is based on the law, shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. See, there's two choices. We can try to pursue it in our own strength. We won't get there. Or we can let Christ do it for us. Let him become our righteousness, and we rise up above the swamp. That is God's plan for us. Now, it's a lot. There's more to this that we're going to be getting into later on in Hebrews. But right now, the point is that the writer of Hebrews is making is that we have to grow up. We have to start munching and eating on the word of righteousness, because if we don't do that, we're not going to understand the rest. Philippians 3. Verse 7. And by the way, to understand this fully, Paul, who writes Philippians, the first six verses, he's talking about all the good things he's done in the flesh. You know, like he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. To the law, he was a Pharisee. You know, if anyone had confidence in the flesh, it should be him. But then in verse 7, he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ. And verse 9, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. That was Paul's, that's how Paul lived the first half of his life. It was a righteousness trying to do it on his own. But now it's that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that which comes from God on the basis of faith. That is what God wants. And when we start to understand this word of righteousness, like it says here in Hebrews 5, we begin to move out of infancy and into maturity. If we don't, we're going to remain as spiritual infants. And we'll remain shackled and in bondage to the deeds and desires of the flesh. Being argumentative, self-focused, greed, insecurity, lust, all these things. Anger. Okay, last verse here. Going back to Hebrews 5. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Solid food is for the mature. And they practice what they're learning. By the way, that's what happens when babies start to kind of grow up, right? When they become a toddler, do they take three steps? And then, okay, I can walk. I'll check that off. Okay, what's next, Mom? No, they have to practice walking. And after about three or four weeks, they've gotten so good, you can't even keep up with them, right? And then they start practicing talking. At first, it's a word here, a word there. They don't say, okay, now I can talk. I can check that off. No, they practice it, right? They practice it so well that by the time they're 4 or 5, they can just go, oh, no, you know. And they've got it down. And the same thing when they get older, when they're learning math, addition, or they're learning to read. That's the way we grow up. And that's what he's saying here, is that the word of righteousness, as an example, we need to start practicing it. It doesn't come naturally. We have to practice it. Wait a minute. It feels more natural for me to try to do this myself. No, wait a minute. It's Christ doing it inside of me. I have to remember that. And the more you practice that, all of a sudden, it begins to be a habit. And that becomes who you are. Like, I don't have to think right now, oh, to walk, I need to put this foot ahead and this foot. I need to balance. No, I've practiced enough. It's me now. I can walk. I can talk. When we begin to practice and encourage one another, our discernment as to what is flesh and what is spirit begins to sharpen. Because practice brings sharpening. And the process begins of all those deeds and desires of the flesh beginning to drop off. Hebrews 4:12, remember last chapter? For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is part of God's word. The living word is the word of righteousness. And when we let it come into our heart, it begins to tell us, Mike, that's self-centeredness. Oh, Mike, that's pride. Mike, that's a lack of agape love toward your brothers and sisters. And the life of Christ begins to take over. As I feast on the word of righteousness, my life changes and I begin to grow up. So in conclusion, let's go back to those two options. This can be your life. Maybe it is your life. This is a spiritual infant. He still has not learned about the word of righteousness, has he? And maybe that's you. If so, Hebrews, God's word wants to let you know there's another way. And the next slide is, you can take the tram up, the word of righteousness. Yeah, it's a little bit more than that. There's a place that you have to kind of learn to practice it. But let's not be dull of hearing. Let's press in to what God is trying to teach us here. And I just want to encourage you, study these things, pray over them, meditate on them, listen to the messages again. You can listen to it. It's online. You can listen to it 5 times if you want. But somehow, try to get this down. If not, we're going to remain spiritual infants. And if we do, if we press in, God will begin to speak to us. And remember, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. Let's pray. Lord, at this point in our study, we are being exhorted not to become dull of hearing and not to remain spiritual infants. Lord, you're calling us to not only take milk. Yes, we can still take milk, but it needs to be supplemented with solid food. And Lord, part of that solid food is the word of righteousness. And we ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see that you have become righteousness for us, that we don't have to live the Christian life out in our own strengths and abilities. Your life inside of us will raise us up above the swamp, and we'll be free of these things that for some of us have been keeping us in bondage for months and years and years. So Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would do this deep work inside of us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.